Christ's name. And the church says, amen. Turn with me in your Bibles this morning, not to the book of Galatians, as we will be after a whole couple of Sundays, we'll be in Galatians, but we're going to go back to 2 Corinthians, and we're going to be in chapter 5, verse 17 this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. I've titled, you know, if you recall, when I taught through 2 Corinthians, we just finished it, I said that chapter 5 is a glorious chapter that really we could spend weeks and weeks in because there was one major doctrine after another. So this morning, I'm going to do a postscript to 2 Corinthians, if you will. And, you know, when we talk about being a new creation, if anyone, no matter who you are, if you're in Christ Jesus, you are new creation. Old things pass away. All things become new. Amen? I'm speaking. I pray this morning that your ears are open to the wonderful truths that we have here. You know, when you think about that word new, I mean, that's an exciting word. I mean, if I got a new car. No, I'm not going to say it. You thought I was going to say Corvette. No, I'm repenting over that idol. I won't even sit in that, those leather seats and that powerful engine and that, no, not me. Give me the old VW bug. New cars, that's exciting, isn't it? Or especially the first new home that you ever live in. I mean, it's just a beautiful, unbelievable thing to walk into your new home. Or, you know, when the new job that you've waited on forever or you've worked for college, you know what I mean. And then when you have that new baby, boy, I mean, your whole world changes then, doesn't it? Yes. But did you know the word new is used 175 times in the entire Bible? And, you know, but there is the question that I want to ask you this morning on this postscript sermon to 2 Corinthians 5. Is there truly anything really new in this world? It's something to really consider, isn't it? Solomon said this in Ecclesiastes 1:9. He said, that which has been is what will be, and that which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new? No, it has already been in ancient times before. Now, you might be thinking, Bill, that's a great scripture, but there are things that are new all the time in our world. Yeah, you can look at technology. I mean, the things that happen, I mean, it's incredible. You know, I mean, new cures for diseases and space exploration, all those things. But the fact is that all of those things that are in our world, they don't provide anything new. Amen? They don't. You see, man is not the creator. God is the creator. I mean, I was just looking the other day, you know, about the new things that are out. You've heard of Orbis, haven't you? I'm sure you have. That it's that new, it's called the Buddy Suitcase. Have you seen it? It's brand new. It's unbelievable. You know, facial recognition. Hey, Bill, where are we going today, you know? Has a built-in GPS, and it can travel behind me at the rapid speed of 6 miles an hour. It's true. It's $799. I know that you probably would like to rush out right now and buy that, right? But, I mean, that's wonderful, and that's new and everything. But, you know, the truth of the matter is that everything that is new actually comes from what has already been. Did you know that? Everything, loved one, in this world, all that we have, is created not by man. It's created by God. Thomas Alva Edison, one of the greatest probably inventors of all time, he said this about his inventions. He said his inventions were only bringing out the secrets of nature, meaning the things that are already in our world, and applying them for the happiness of mankind. So before we begin our study this morning, it's very, very important that we remember, loved one, that you know that knowledge is only as helpful as if it leads to action. In other words, be ye doers of the word, not only hearers. Amen? Now, here's the problem. If you are a new creation in Christ, and I'm sure all of us, most of us are, but listen carefully. I know that if you've been a Christian for 5 years, that maybe that new creation, that feeling or that emotion or whichever word you care to use, may be a little distant from you. I hope that it's not, but it could be. You see, what we don't want to do this morning is let the doctrine of deadly familiarity take over. Bill, don't tell me you're really going to teach on being a new creation. I know what a new creation is. I'm a new creation in Christ. You're not going to tell me anything new. I might tell you a lot that's new if you're not careful. We have to be very careful. Your ears have to be open this morning. This is a word from heaven to you, to me, amen? A word from God to his people, the sheep of his pasture. The Bible tells us to be very, very careful about what we hear. Hebrews 2:1 says this, therefore we must give the more earnest heed or more careful attention to the things we have heard, past tense, the things that we have heard from God's word, lest we drift away. Boy, that's a scary word. In other words, we let them slip away from us, God's word. Have you ever, like for example, you know, you're washing your hands and you put a little soap on there, and the next thing you know, you dry your hands and your ring comes off in the towel and you don't even know it. Has that ever happened? Don't be like the first service. You know, about this time I'm getting a little tired, okay? I need some love. Show me the love, okay? Now, no. Listen, you know, the same way, you know, what happens is you hear the word of God, but then you could let it just simply drift and slip right on out of your mind. God says, oh, don't do that. Now listen carefully. You are a new creation in Christ, but listen, when it comes to anything that is created new, anywhere in the world, anywhere, God is the only true creator. Amen? He's the only one that can create anything new, only God. In Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The word create there means bara in the Hebrew. In other words, it means to create something out of something that never existed, meaning to create this out of nothing. Have you ever created anything out of nothing? That's what God does. And only God can do that. And that word bara, the Hebrew word, is only reserved for God and God alone, because only God can say, let there be light where there was no light, amen, and then light was. Now, man has the ability to shape things, to take parts of whatever that's in this universe, in the world, and they can shape those things, they can build things, but they can only do it out of what is existing. They have never created anything out of nothing. Do you understand? No one has ever done that. Only God has done that. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:3, it says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed or literally held together by the word of God, so that the things which are seen, everything that we see right now in this world, the things which are seen, listen carefully, were not made of things which are visible. Man, does that blow you away? See, it doesn't require any faith for us to look out and see the sun, the moons, the stars, the galaxies, or feel the wind, or the different seasons, or walk on this earth, and so forth. It doesn't take any faith to believe it exists because we see it. But to believe there was absolutely nothing. Do you understand? Nothing. In the beginning, God, bara, he created out of nothing the heavens and the earth. That is an incredible, unbelievable word. He did it from nothing. We live, we move, we go to bed, we wake up, we drive on the highways, we fly across the atmosphere in planes. We live in an environment, a world, loved one, that was literally spoken into existence by God. That blows me away. Now, this morning, as we think and talk and learn about what it really is to be a new creation in Christ. Listen very carefully. You know, as we go through this process of what's called, the Bible calls sanctification, where we are growing in Christ's likeness from glory to glory to glory, there are times in our life, God forbid, but it's true, that we may not feel like a new creation. Amen? There's times. And there are times when, unfortunately, that we might not even act like we are born again, act like a brand new creation in Christ. But loved one, we are a new creation in Christ. Don't ever, ever, ever forget that. In this chapel this morning, there are only two kinds of people. Those that are without Christ and those that are in Christ Jesus. That's the only kind of people, loved one, in the world. You're either in Adam, and Adam all die, or you're in Christ all shall be made alive. Now, with all that being said, are you at verse 17? All right, let's look at it together. It says, therefore, meaning based on all that Paul has previously said, he says, therefore, if anyone, no matter what nationality, what race, what color, educational level, social background, it doesn't matter at all. If anyone is in Christ. Now, let's stop right there. I have never, before I read the Bible, I have never heard of anyone being in anyone. Have you? No. Never. How unique is that? I mean, people can believe in all different kinds of false religions, but they're not in, and the founder is not in them. Does that make sense? But see, it says, if anyone is in Christ, that means to be in Christ means to be in personal, living, intimacy, union with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the fairest of 10,000s. Amen? That's what it means. It means to be in Christ means that you, that he who has all power, all authority, okay, in heaven and upon earth lives in you. Jesus lives in a new creation. Amen? And you say, Bill, well, I know all of that. No, wait a minute. No, you're getting ahead. That's an incredible statement. My question to you, Christian, is this. Is new creation still new to you? Or are you so familiar with it that it doesn't hold the meaning that it should? Loved one, it says, if anyone is in Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah. Lord, how wonderful to know that. It says, look, he is a what? Say it. New creation. That word new, you know what it means? It means something, someone that has not previously existed. In other words, someone, a new species that have never, ever existed before. A new creation means that it means that there's an absolutely new created being. That's who you are. You are a new creation. That is the new birth. Amen? It's the greatest miracle in the Bible and in the world. You become a brand new, never before been, new creation because Christ Jesus has now come into your heart, into your life. Man, listen, the Bible says this about the new birth. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again. In other words, the new birth, being born from above, have begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 1 Peter 1:23, having been, past tense, having been born again. Not of corruptible seed, in other words, a seed that perishes, but incorruptible, the Bible teaches. How did it happen? Through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. That's a powerful, powerful scripture, loved one. Listen, when you heard the living Word of God, when you believed the living Word of God, you were instantly, from that very moment, man, you were a brand new creation in Christ. Loved one, 1,000 things happened to you instantly in 1 second. Do you understand? The new birth is an incredible creation. God didn't reform us. He didn't go, okay, I'm going to remodel Bill. No, no, I'm not worth remodeling. Do you understand? I can't be remodeled. I have to be recreated. That's what the new birth is. We're not additions to the human race, loved one. We have a brand new existence in Christ Jesus. It is a God-created moment. Matter of fact, if you look at verse 18, it says, for all things are of God. So this is a God, the new birth is a God-created moment. Remember before there was light, what did God, before any light was there, before there was nothing on the face of the earth, what did God say? Let there be light. And light was. He created from nothing something out of absolutely nothing that existed. He just spoke it. Now listen, That's what happened with us. We heard God's word. We believed God's word. Our heart, man, just exploded. The Bible says in John 1:10 that Jesus came to his own and his own received him not. In other words, he came to his own people, the Jewish nation, his own family, all of them, his own people. He says, but he goes on and he says, but as many as received them, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, that to those who believe in his name. Remember, the name is Acts 4:12. Remember, the name that's given above every name in heaven. It says, now listen, who were born, mean born again, not of blood, not through any racial privileges, like I'm a Jew or whatever, and not through, not through the will of the flesh. It wasn't by my own power I was born again, nor from the will of man, here it is, but they were born again of God. You are a new creation in Christ. I'm going to ask you a question, very important question. I pray you never forget this, and I pray you ponder it often. Is there truly anything in the entire universe too hard for the living God? Yes, there is. It's unbelievable, but there is something difficult. Difficult for God. You see, loved one, listen to me now. It was more difficult for God to create a Christian than create the world. You say, why? Bill, that's crazy. No. The reason I say that is when there was absolutely nothing out there and God just said, you know what? Let there be light. Light was. Amen? Did the light rebel? Oh, what did you make me for? I mean, what's going on here? I never existed before, now here I am. No. The light are all the things that God created. Was there any opposition? No, not at all. I mean, even with Jesus, the sea, the waves, everything obeyed the Lord, but not man. Jesus said, you know, I want to save you, but you're not willing to come to me that you might have life. You see, God gave man free will. I understand. Thank God, thank goodness he did. But when you think about being saved, you think about man. Now, listen now. We loved darkness more than we loved light when we were lost, didn't we? Oh, yes. Not only that, just like Jeremiah said, our heart, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord. I test the heart. I know what's in that dirty heart. I know everything about it. Listen, that was our condition. We were dead. I don't mean physically dead. We were spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. And we were so dead, we were blinded by the God of this age. And when we heard the good news, the real truth, instead of believing the truth, we believed the lie. There's no God. I don't need God. I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. Are you following me? We were stiff-necked. We were hard-hearted. And God had to go in there and woo us over and over. How many times did you hear the living word of God before you came to Christ and you rejected it? Think about that. I rejected it several times. Why would I need God when I've done what I've done in my life? I pulled my own self up. I'm a self-made man. I don't need God. Where was he when I needed him? Where was he when I need on the streets and starving to death? Where was he? I don't need any. I don't know. Hard. You see how difficult. And the Holy Spirit sends this man, sends this woman, woos you over and over and over. But in the beginning, God said, just let there be light. There was light. But not so with us. Not so with man. Are you following me? Loved one, you are a new creation. You should be the most exciting, the most rejoicing people on this planet. Amen? We've been made brand new. Something that never existed before is now existing in us. And it just took just a little tiny drop of faith. I believe, Lord. Yes, Lord, I save me, whatever your prayer was. And he did save you. And you know what happened? The moment that you were an old man, that you were dead in trespasses and sins, and you asked Christ to come into your heart, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:6, it is God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Remember in Genesis that I was reading earlier. Who has gone, has shone into our hearts. Why? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, loved one, listen to me. The moment, the very moment that you prayed, however it was, and whoever you prayed with, whether it doesn't matter where, Sunday school, church, whatever it was, the moment you believed, man, the light of the glorious gospel, the Son of God, he exploded into your heart and into your mind. And you know what? He was driving out all the darkness that was there. Are you following me? Man, that is an incredible moment. The Spirit of Christ, what did he do? He literally, Jesus be my Lord, boom, rushed in your heart, into your heart, into your being. You became a new creation. The Bible says that God has sent forth his Spirit of his Son into our hearts, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. Oh, Daddy. We're born again. That's a relationship word. The Bible tells us in Colossians 1:27, Christ, the anointed one, in me, the hope of glory. All that Jesus is now in you, the new creation. I don't know how that makes you feel, but I go, oh, Lord, when I received Christ, I didn't know it. I didn't know that the joy of Jesus came into me. I didn't know that the peace of Jesus came into my life. I didn't know that his life became into my life, his power, his strength. I didn't know that the love of God was shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit that was given unto us. I didn't know that. I didn't have a clue. And then I didn't understand. But I knew that something was different, and the reason is because I became a new living creation. I had someone come up to me at the first service, and they go, oh, Bill, I'm just so excited. I said, it's real. I said, what's real? The new birth, being born again. It's real. And then it's real. I said, I believe you. No, it's real. I've started to run. No. It's real. It's so real, it's ridiculous. It's wonderful. I'm growing distant. Just, do you understand? That's the new birth. That's the excitement of the new birth. Knowing it's no longer you anymore. Amen? Oh, no. No, that junk is gone. And look what happens when you are born from above. You become a new creation. Look, it says, old things have what? Passed away. They've been severed. They've been broken in your life. Your relationship to Adam, the federal head of the human race, your relationship to him has been severed. It has been broken. Now listen to me. When you become a new creation in Christ, you can never be in Adam again. Do you understand? That's what the Word of God teaches, and which means if you're never going to be in Adam again, in Adam all die. That means that, like it says in John 5:24, you have now passed out of death. I love that. Into life. You have passed into everlasting life. You're under brand new management. Not the Satan's anymore. Remember, you've been translated out of the powers of darkness over into the kingdom of God. Amen? Colossians 1:13. You're born from above. And more than that, loved one, you're no longer bound to hell. You're not going to hell. You're going to heaven. Amen? Listen, but something happened. You didn't know it happened. You didn't even know what the word meant. But that moment, that new creation, God, that you talk about a major change in your relationship with God. Yes, you had peace with God. God's not mad. The wrath of God doesn't abide upon you anymore. But the Bible says the moment that a new creation, a person is born from above, you know what happens? You are justified in the eyes of God. That's a judicial decision from heaven. In other words, your sin that would take you to hell has now been credited to Christ. Amen? And Christ, Jesus' righteousness, perfect standing with God, has now been credited to you. listen. And that can never, can never, can never change. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You have perfect standing with God. That's your position right now. Why? You're a new creation. Old things have passed away. Are you with me? Oh, listen, your sins are now far as the east is from the west. Therefore, there's now no condemnation, no judgment to those who are in Christ Jesus. Never. You see, and don't never buy into that false doctrine that you become righteous. No, it's not impartation. Impartation is, especially of righteousness, is a false doctrine. It's imputation. In other words, where it's imputed to you, where you take something, the word imputation means take something that belongs to someone else and put it over into your account. When God the Father sees you, he sees you in Christ who has never sinned, the perfect one. Amen? Listen, is that too familiar to you? Is that so familiar it doesn't just, I mean, we should have tambourines underneath every chair here. There should be, we should be, you know, back when I used to teach in those Pentecostal churches, and there's some wrong Pentecostal church. Preach it, brother. Preach it, brother. Oh, I love the first service. I tell you, you guys, you're just hard on me. You know what I mean? Look at the word. What does it say? Behold, all things have become new for the first time. Here you are. You don't know anything about the Bible. You're born from above. You have no clue that for the first time in your life, you've overcome the wicked one because you're in Jesus. Later on, you're going to learn, hey, I'm not ignorant of his devices. I'm growing in Christ Jesus. You had no idea the moment that you came to Christ, the moment you became a new creation. Listen to me now. The Bible says that you are now complete in him who is the head of all principality and power, our Lord Jesus Christ. You have received his fullness, amen? You are seated right this minute, loved one. Only a new creation can do to say this. I'm seated with Christ Jesus right now in the heavenlies. That is your a position in Christ. As far as God the Father is concerned, you're right there with Jesus. Why? Because you're in Jesus. We're his body. Amen? Oh, listen. We should be the most exciting people on this planet. His life has now become our life. It is no longer I who liveth, but Christ who liveth in me. Man, his love is now my love. It's all new. I never loved like that before. Romans 5:5, I quote that scripture nearly every service. You know, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts lavishly by the Holy Spirit that has given unto us. We have all that we need because of Jesus Christ, and then sealed with the Spirit, eternally sealed. The Bible teaches that when we become a new creation, we are eternally purchased. Amen? Not purchased, well, I might not make it. You're going to make it if you're really born again. He who began a good work in you will complete it to the very day of Christ. Amen? Listen, this is so vital. Look what it says again. Behold, some things. Oh, no. That doesn't say that, does it? That's the way the church says it, though. Some things are your, no. All things have what? Newly made. Fresh. Brand new. Before you were born again, somebody said, here's a Bible, would you read it? You'd go, what is this? You know, the begots, the begots, the begots. I don't want to read this junk. Come on. But after you were born again, what happened? The Word of God became like a treasure to you. You loved your Bible. You would read it when you were first born again. You read the Bible over. I hope you did, because you were on fire. You weren't dead anymore. You were alive in Christ, man. That's all you want to do is read the Word. And then there was all the problems with understanding all the books. You know, what's this? How do you pronounce it? Ecclesiastes, you know? And then remember how you call the book of Job. You said Job. Well, who would name anybody Job? And do you understand? We were growing in Christ. We were so dead that now we're alive. And then, more than that, after we were born again, you remember you just kind of hold your Bible and read through it and didn't understand anything it meant. You'd come to something Jesus said like, all those who say, Lord, Lord, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, but I said, Lord, Lord, I'm not going to, you know, you understand. And then you grew and you understood what that meant. And then there was that moment after the new birth, after becoming a new creation. You knew Jesus was real. You knew the Bible was real. You didn't know all the songs because you were still learning. You didn't understand what communion really meant, but you were participating in it. But then that moment came when God answered your first little baby prayer. And all of a sudden, everything changed in your life. And God was igniting your prayer life. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Loved one, we are new creations in Christ. We should be a people, Lord. Yet, now wait. Yes, we're going to have problems. Yes, you know, our old problems didn't pass. Problems don't pass away. They're new every day. Amen? But we're in Christ now. If we need to walk on water, he'll help us walk on water, meaning where the problems that we have in life, they'll become stepping stones. Amen. We know the Word of God. Our mind's being renewed to the Word of God. We're growing, changing, clinging to the truth by renewing our minds to God's Word. It says that all things have become new. Did you notice that things is plural? It's just not singular, loved one. Not one thing. Oh, but so many things. I mean, what are they? There's so many things that are new when you become a new creation in Christ. All of a sudden, we understand that Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant based on better promises. Amen? We understand as we become a Christian, a new creation, all of a sudden we start embracing the new commandment, John 13, 34 and 35, that where we love one another as Christ has loved us. We also understand that as we grow in Christ, we latch on to Hebrews 10, 19, where it says that we come up into the holy of holies of heaven. In other words, in our prayer time, we go to the throne of grace. How? By the precious blood of Jesus, it says, through a new and living way. A new way. Not the old law, but a brand new way. And then one day, you know what's going to happen to this crummy body that is falling apart? We're going to have a brand new body. Do you see that word new? Over. All things have become new when you become a new creation in Christ. The Bible says in Philippians 3:20, for our citizenship is in heaven. Praise God. We have a passport to get there. Amen. It says, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, this old junky thing here, that it may be conformed to his glorious body. When a Christian, the new birth occurs, listen, you have a desire to follow the Lord. You're excited about Jesus. You're excited about coming to church. You're excited about supporting the kingdom of God. You're excited about serving, even if you don't know how to serve, you'll do it anyway. Do you understand? Why? Everything's new. Old things have now passed away, loved one. I say, oh God, you're so good. I thank you for your word. Listen, to walk in a newness of life. What did Paul say? Let me read it to you in Romans 6:3. He says, do you not know that as many of us were baptized or immersed or made one with Christ Jesus, were immersed or baptized into his death? In other words, Jesus' death became our death. His burial became our burial. His resurrection became our resurrection. His ascension became our ascension. Are you following me? Okay, so we were baptized into Christ, immersed into Christ. This has nothing to do with water baptism. Paul the Apostle, when he wrote that, he's using a physical analogy of water baptism to teach a spiritual reality of the believer's union or identification with Christ Jesus. The word baptize or immersed in that passage that I just read is very important. Let me read from my Greek Bible what the word baptizo means, okay? It means that you have been placed into a new environment. See, you have been baptized or immersed into union with Christ Jesus when you were born again. Are you following me? You're the body of Christ. We're new creations. So he says, into a new environment, not only that, into a new union with something else as to alter its condition or its relationship from its previous environment, the old man, okay, or the previous condition, a dead in trespasses and sins. That word baptizo is so important. Now, let me read to you what from my Greek study Bible I want to read, and I read, and if you were to, if you were with me when I taught through Romans, you'll remember this. Let me read it to you. It says, not to be confused with babto. The clearest example that shows the meaning of baptizo is a text from the Greek poet and physician Nicander, who lived about 200 BC. It's a recipe for making pickles and is helpful because it uses both words. Now, Nicander says that in to make a pickle, the vegetable first must be dipped, babto, into boiling water, and then baptizo, or baptized, fully immersed into the vinegar solution. Both verbs concern the immersing of vegetables into a solution, but the first one, that would be, you know, the cucumber or whatever it is, the first one, okay, that the first one is temporary, okay? The second, here it is, I'm going to get ready to dip it or whatever. The second is the act of baptizo, or baptizing, or immersing the vegetable into that boiling water, which produces a permanent change. In other words, you know the story. If that is a cucumber and you have bapto it, now you pull it, okay. Now you're going to baptizo, immerse it. You pull it out, and what is it? It's a pickle. It'll never be a cucumber again. Do you understand? You can never be a cucumber again. Listen. You're not a pickle, but you're a Christian. What does that mean? It means your new position is in Christ has been eternally changed. You are a brand new creation. The old nature, man, it may hang around. It may try to live. It may try to get back on the throne of your heart. But the fact of the matter is, we reckon it dead. We're no longer an Adam. We'll never be an Adam again. We went from sinner to saint. That's who we are. We have been Christian. A new creation is permanently immersed in Christ. Now listen. You can't change that pickle, can you? Huh? Come on. No. And you can't change you. You can't be unborn again, for you are born again. The Spirit of God didn't come in. He said, ooh, I made a big mistake. I'm getting out of this crummy person right now. I can't change him. No. That didn't, loved one, that didn't happen. Oh, we walk. Loved one, I tell you, in that newness of life, Romans 6:4, that's what the Bible says. We walk in a newness of life. And Romans 7:6 says, now we serve in a newness of the Spirit, not the letter of the law. We're filled with the Spirit of God. Now listen, I want you to turn, talking about things new, talking about a new creation. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter. Turn with me, 2 Peter. You can do it. It's right back there in the back. 2 Peter, and I want you to look with me at chapter 3. And I want you to go to verse 10. You see, all things become new. That means just not now. It means in the future. So a new day is coming, loved one. 2 Peter 3:10. Now watch this. Peter says, but the day of the Lord will come. Now when you see words like that, that means number one, it's certain. Number two, it is a fact. What is the day of the Lord? The day of the Lord occurs after the catching away of the church, when we're gone from this planet, okay? Immediately after the catching away of the church, the seven-year period of time, which we call the Great Tribulation period, begins. So it says, but the day of the Lord will come, and look how it's going to come. Ooh, no warning, man, no warning to this world as a thief in the night. And look what's going to happen. The heavens will, what's that word? Old things pass away, all things become new, will pass away with a great noise, and the elements, meaning the air, the water, the atmosphere, everything, will melt with a fervent heat, both the earth, the works that are in it, will be burned up or laid bare or exposed. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Listen, that's a great question, Peter, because you know what? Everything that was created out of nothing that we live in, called the earth, all that man has fought for and stolen and been greedy for and built and loved and coveted is going to burn. It's all going to be gone. You have to ask yourself, what am I living for? The temporary or the eternal? Amen? Yes. No. Old things pass away. All things become new. Look at the next verse. What are we doing? Hey, we're looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire. The elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, meaning God's promise. The promise is Isaiah 65:17, where God says, behold, I create, that's that word bara in the Hebrew again, I create a new heavens and a new earth. I create them out of nothing. He says, so we look according to God's promise. What do we look for? Oh, the new heavens, new earth. And look what it's going to be like. It's total righteousness, loved one. That's where we're going. And not only that, when we get to heaven, did you know the Bible teaches us in Revelation 3:12 that somehow, however He does it, whatever God wants to do and how, He's going to give you a new name. He's going to write my name on your forehead, it says. Not my name, but His name. You know what I mean? That new name, signifying you belong to me. You belong to God. You're a new creation in Christ. Now you're entering a brand new world. Amen? See, everything is going to become new. A new creation is expecting the new, getting ready to go live in the eternal new forever and ever and ever. That's what we're going to do. When we get to heaven, did you know there's going to be a new song there? This incredible song is going to be sung. Listen, in Revelation 14:2, it says, I heard a voice from heaven like the voice of many waters and like the voice of the loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. I hope that's me. There's music in heaven. There's musical instruments in heaven, loved one. And look, listen, and they sang, as it were, a new song before the throne, meaning the throne of Jesus. And it is before the four living creatures and the elders. That means the church, which is crowned. We're right there with them. And no one could learn that song, that new song, except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth, meaning they were purchased, redeemed, to enter now into the thousand-year or the millennial reign of Christ. Now listen, can you just look at it? We're going to be there. There's 144,000 singing a brand new song. They're standing right in front of the throne, right beside Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now listen, why the song is restricted to the 144,000? Because it says we won't know. I don't know why. We're not told, but I do know this. We're all going to hear it. It's real. Heaven is real, loved one. It's only for new creations. It's only for those who are new creations in the one who paid for the sin of the world, Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us, turn in your Bible. Let's go to the last page there, next to the last, Revelation 21. Let's look at it together. We have time. Oh, perfect time. Lots of time. I'm going to slow down and drag this out. Look at chapter 21 of Revelation. What is the title right above? Do you have a title right above chapter 21? What does it say? All things new? Now, isn't that something? Now, listen. Look at it with me. We're going to a place. You are new creations in Christ. You're going to a place where everything is new. I mean new. Never before. It's all new, loved one. Look at verse 1. Behold, John the Apostle, of course, you know, he's in the Spirit. He's in heaven there. He says, and I saw, here it is, a new heaven and a new earth. What happened to the first heaven and first earth? Old things have passed away. All things become new. But there is also no more sea. Man, listen, one day when we arrive, everything that we see It's going to blow you away because you have never seen anything like it ever. Ever. And then it says, and there'll be no more sea. What does that mean? If you're a surfer, well, if you love to fish, I don't know what it means. Spurgeon, who is one of the greatest, the prince of preachers, he said that the no more sea is symbolic of meaning no more division, no more separation. In other words, sea separates land, doesn't it? Some people live here, some people live there. He said, oh no, there's no separation in heaven. We're all one there. There's no more division ever, ever, ever. Now watch this. And then I, John, I saw the what kind of city? It's a holy city. Why? Because everyone in that city is holy. Everyone in this city is not holy. Amen? Yes. And I, John, saw the holy city, and here it is, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. And look how it was prepared. Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, oh, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and God will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God forever and ever and ever and ever. The new creations in Christ see the new city, the holy city of Jerusalem. There we are with God, and God himself will be with us. And we will enjoy the presence of God forever and ever and ever and ever. And look what happens when we get there. And God will wipe every tear from their eyes. I told the first service, I said, I prayed there in the back before I came up. I said, Lord, I said, the last several, four or five sermons, man, on Sunday, I said, I've been crying or something, like a sissy pastor. You know, these people are going to think I'm just a marshmallow, man, you know, And I said, please, I don't want any more tears in the pulpit. And as God is my witness, he said, well, tears are for earth, Bill, but when in heaven, I'll wipe them all away. And I said, okay, it's all right then. It's okay, Lord, if a tear comes to my eye, because they're for earth, but they're not for heaven. Because right there, God is going to do something in this new world. You think of all the countless tears that have been cried. There's 4 million people living in a trash dump in the Philippines right now, starving to death. No food, no place to go. 4 million in a trash dump. You look at all the problems all over the world, the people that are suffering, all the tears that have cried, poured out of their hearts. Since the day when Adam and Eve, since they walked out of the garden. Dear Lord, loved one, we're going to a place, a new place, where new creations go, where no one will ever cry for all eternity. Think about that. It's all new, man. You couldn't even make a tear. You know what I'm saying? Matter of fact, the word tear is not in your thinking. It's gone. We will remember not the former things, the Bible says. No, they're gone. Not only that, loved one, listen, you won't even think about crying because you won't even know how to cry. Do you understand me? This is all, everything is all brand new. Man, no more death. I like that. No more death. A world, a new world. Nobody can die. Why? Because there's not any funeral parlors. Amen? There's not any cemeteries. There's not anybody going to dig a hole in the ground. There's no funeral homes. Death is gone. It's cast into the lake of fire. Amen? You're going to see that. I'm going to see that. It says there's not going to be, what? No pain of any kind. No pain. You know, you won't have to go to the dentist and get numbed up. No, you know, or you won't have to go to the doctor and get, here's another shot. The older you get, they keep, now you need a heavy-duty pneumonia, double pneumonia, triple pneumonia shot because you've got, oh, yeah. You know, I just say, give it to me, man. I don't care anymore. I mean, that's all you do is stick me with those needles. There's not going to be any doctors in heaven, meaning professions, not people. There's not going to be any hospitals. There's not going to be any pain, no need. Why? There's no sickness. There is no disease. Matter of fact, there's not even a sun. There's not even going to be a moon. Why? The Lamb is its light. Amen? It's only for new creations. It's only for new creations. There's not going to be, look at that word, sorrow. No sorrow of any kind. None. Oh, I think, oh, Lord, you mean there's not going to be any grief counselors? Nope, none, Bill. No, no, are you sure? No broken hearts? Not one. There's not going to be murderers there either. And there's not going to be anyone who commits a crime. No one's going to steal because they don't make it. Do you understand me? There's not going to be any filth in heaven wherein dwelleth righteousness. There will not be any vile, ungodly, demonic pornography in heaven. Except the devil. It'll not be there. Oh, no. No, there will be no child molesters either. And not only that, there'll be no children that can be sold into sex slavery like it does. If we're a number one hub in our nation, in this city. It won't be in heaven. Oh, no. Loved one, I want you to listen to me now. I want to read the exact words that I wrote down. Now, maybe it'll upset you. If it does, I love you anyway. But I want to read exactly what I said after I had a prayer time. I said, we live in a dirty city. We live in a dirty America filled with dirty minds and dirty mouths. Our songs are dirty. Thoughts are dirty. Our internet is dirty. Our cable and TV is dirty, dirty people. We live in a dirty, contaminated, unclean, defiled, filthy nation. A nation that says to those who love the Lord Jesus Christ and who call out sin for what it is, not condemning the sinner, but loving the sinner. Jesus was a friend to sinners and tax collectors. Amen. He didn't agree with what they did. He wanted to save them. No. No, we live in a dirty, dirty place. A nation that whenever a believer, whatever, and they call out sin, but they love the sinner, but hate the sin. And they call it out. They call it hate speech. And it's getting worse and worse and worse and worse. We live in a nation. We're new creations. And we live in a nation that celebrates and rejoices to the tone of nearly a million people, I guess New York, wherever it was, in the gay pride celebration. Now, Bill, are you against people that are gay? I love people. I'm not against it. Whatever sin is sin. I want everybody to know Jesus Christ. But, you know, I look at that, and I didn't understand all that was going on. I guess it was Gay Pride Month. But what bothered me is this. So you want to celebrate your gender? Well, then celebrate it. But why, from the photographs from CNN, why do you have to march down a street where children and people are and expose your private areas? What is that? It's filth. It's demonic. It is of the devil. And you say one word about that, and they'll say, it's hate speech, Christian. Are you listening to me? You know how ridiculous that is for a person that's a NFL football star or whatever to say to Nike, that the flag, Betsy Ross, I think it was her flag, wasn't it? Get it off that shoe. It endorsed slavery during that era. That's not true. They don't know your. Do you not know history? Did you know that that same flag was carried in the Civil War by the Union Army who wanted slavery abolished? But one man can force Nike to remove a little flag off a stinking $345,000 tennis shoe? What kind of world are we living in? Do you know how silly it is? You need to apologize. Everybody needs to apologize. That's wrong. You tolerate me, but I won't tolerate Christianity. You know how silly it is? Here it is. Listen, here, let me show you how silly it is. I want to apologize to all of you. But really, I want to apologize to what I said 63 years ago when I was first grade student. I want to apologize to Judy Garner. I called Judy Garner freckle face. She was freckle faced. She was redheaded, and her face was full of freckles. And when she would not be my girlfriend, I said, freckle face. Fat Isabel, we played dodgeball every day. But he was a moocher. I'm sorry I called you a moocher, Fat Isabel, but you mooched the only little food I had at lunch. And Ellen Arterberry, tall, taller than God, skinny. She wore the glasses bigger than the earth. She could do the Star Spangled Banner going, I'm serious. Ellen Arterberry, I called you Four Eyes. I want America to know. I want my classmates, any that are still alive, I want you to know. I'm reading my script. I've grown since then. And I recognize how wrong I was. Is that the most pathetic thing you have ever heard? That is, huh? Yes. Listen, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. And we need to be new creations. That's who we are. Instead of acting like we're dead creations. We live in a city right now that's promoting the atheist thing for July 14th in downtown Fort Worth. So you have all the banners that are there, which says, in no God we trust. Why would Betsy, Mayor Betsy, why would you do that? Why would you do that? When I lived on the streets of Fort Worth as a little boy, let me tell you something. If that had been when I was a little boy, somebody would have been in a lot of trouble. The Bible says in Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, not up here, the mind, no. When he gets down here, you don't believe in God. Do you understand? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. God says, yeah, you're corrupt and your works are abominable, horrible. They're wicked. No, loved one, listen. Here's my question. Becky and I were talking last night, and she said to me, why? We were talking about all this happening and all the nonsense and how everything is so crazy. You can't even, you're afraid to say hello to someone. I'm offended. Don't ever do that again. Do you understand? Why isn't it where America? No, let's leave America out. Why isn't the churches in our nation or the churches just right here in Fort Worth, why aren't we marching? Why aren't we protesting? Why aren't we going up and down the street and we're crying out and we're saying, it's over. It's over. This, our city will not be a major hub for child sex trafficking ever again. We're going to hunt you down. We're going to pray you out. You're not going to touch our children. Why aren't we mad? Why aren't we asking, you know, do something like that? The world promotes their sin. Boy, they get all bent out of shape. Why doesn't the church? We live in a land of unclean people with unclean lips and unclean minds who love darkness and do not love light. The whirlwind of God. It must be forming now. We must be the light of the world while we can and the salt of the earth while we can. Alexander Solzhenitsyn said the strength of or weakness of a society depends more on the level of its spiritual life than on its level of industrialization. Neither a market economy or even general abundance constitutes the crowning achievement of human life. If a nation's spiritual energies have been exhausted, it will not be saved from collapse by the most perfect government structure or by any industrial development. Listen to what he says. A tree with a rotten core cannot stand. We are new creations in Christ. And until we depart to our new world, where there's no more sin, no more sadness, no more pain, suffering, death, no more tears, we have a job to do. One day we will be in heaven, but not now. But one day when we are there, we're going to hear our Lord and our Savior say from the throne, Revelation 21:5, say from the throne, "Behold, I make all things new." What a day. But until then, we have a job to do. Amen. We are the new creations in Christ, and we have a job to do. Maybe you're here and you don't know Christ. Let me tell you what's going to happen. You listen carefully. God can't lie. It says in Revelation 21:8 about those who don't know Christ, that are not new creations in Christ. The cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderer, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars have their part in the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Second death. Oh, can you imagine to be pulled out of Hades? You died and you pulled out of Hades. There you are, standing before in the great white throne judgment in the face of Jesus Christ, and you'll be cast into a Christless eternity. You'll be, nothing is good there. Nothing. No goodness, no light, no nothing. Forever and ever and ever. Christian, listen to me. Are you a new creation in Christ? Yes, I know you are. But have you found yourself? Years have passed. And you say, you know, Bill, I'm a new creation. I have a name. I have a name that I'm alive. But I'm not. I'm really dead. There was a time when Jesus was really my first love. But somehow or another, I left him. He's not number one now. He used to be. I was excited about him. But not anymore. I want you to listen to me. Let me give you a word from heaven. Let me tell you right this minute where the 21st century church has landed. You know, if you have left your first love, there's a reason. If you're no longer excited about being a new creation, there is a reason. You know what the church today and Christians have done? Listen now. They have devised something new. They devised a new doctrine for a new creation. It's called the new doctrine of grace that permits a believer to live no differently than an unbeliever. And that is where the church is right this minute. That's where we are. Oh God. Jesus said, come back. I know your true spiritual condition. Repent. Get right. Come back to me. Father, this morning, maybe there are those believers, those new creations that are in Christ, but they're not living like it. They used to be alive, but now they feel dead. They just sit. They hurt. They're lonely. They need to return to their first love. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, Christian, listen to me. I love you. I stand with you, man, and I'm for you. But if that's you, why don't you come back and get right now? Why don't you just lift your hand to the Lord and say, Bill, that's me. I want to repent. I just want to get right. God bless you. That's right. Just lift your hand high. God bless you. That's right. Just lift it and put it right back. God bless you and put it right back down. You know what I mean? Is that you? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Yes, yes. Yes, yes. That's right. I'm coming back. I'm coming. God bless you. I'm coming back right now. Right now. coming back. Father, we're coming to you now, those that lifted their hands and their hearts to heaven. I boldly take them with me to the throne of grace by a new and living way, the blood of Jesus. Oh Lord, forgive and cleanse. You promised if we would confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness and to cleanse us from all sin, Lord. We want to be your new creations again. We want to rise up in the power of another, the Spirit of the living God. And we want to walk in the newness of life and serve in the newness of the Spirit to glorify Jesus Christ. We want to win this city. We want to be bold for the Lord. And we don't care what the world calls us or says to us. We're not like the world. We are not of the world. Now bless them in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen.